What's up, guys? Welcome back to BTTS Podcast, where we give unsolicited opinions on all things healthcare, child raising, marriage, relationships, and all things in between. Thank you guys for continuing to tune in, like, share, comment, all those fun things. We're going to hop right on into it.
You may not harass women. You may know how to take rejection. The majority of men that most women deal with do not.
Yeah.
And you are accountable for that as well. Because I don't got time to figure out which white people are nice, which white people aren't racist, or da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. I have to go on the actions of the group.
Right.
The group as a whole and the history of that group as a whole tells me that they are a danger to me and they are not to be trusted.
Right.
And if you can understand that as a black man and your stance towards white people, then you should absolutely be able to understand women's stance towards you. Mm-hmm. It's not a war on you waged by women. Actually, the war get a little thicker when we start talking about it from the perspective of a woman and the greater society of racism and white supremacy being waged against black people, and then the patriarchal society being waged against women. So they have to deal with two elements. One of those elements we don't have to think about, and honestly, we're perpetuated. Mm-hmm. And it's perpetuated against us young to look at women as objects,
right?
You know, to look at women only through the lens of a sexual desire and not as the human being that they are. And when you understand how to deal with women on a human level, you understand how much women will enrich your life.
Amen. Amen.
You want to turn it up a notch?
Yeah.
Get you a good woman in you. Get you a good black woman in your corner.
Amen.
Hey, man. You want to see your life turn up?
Hey.
And see, this is the thing, though. It's a privilege, bro. It's a privilege. You know what I'm saying? We often disregard the power of our black women, the spiritual essence that they're going to bring to things, the knowing, the seeing, you know what I'm saying? Also, too, imagine it. They have to be hyper-vigilant because they have to be constantly scanning the room, making sure that they're in a safe situation.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? When we think about these kids who were clearly in Louisiana having the time of their fucking life because they graduated. Uh-huh. And we think about white people's reaction to black joy.
Oh, yeah, that's...
It's not about civility. Mm-hmm. It's not about decorum. They don't like to see us happy.
That's what it is.
Now, how often are women just having a good time and here come a nigga trying to ruin their fun?
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. You can call it pandering, but if I was up here caping for white women, you wouldn't even mention that word. Mm-mm. If I was up here caping for Hispanic women, you wouldn't even call it pandering. Mm. Only when we take pride and show love to black women do you call it pandering. Get your motherfucking mind right. Use your cabeza.
So I learned something in a project management course, not really a course, but seminar I took not too long ago, is that when you work on projects for improvement, you work on something called an 80-20 rule, and you work on your process improvement based on the 80% of the people you deal with and not the 20% of the outliers, right? So if I want to improve something, I'm looking at the majority of what I deal with and not the outliers. And what he's saying, I hear what he's saying to an extent. I think that this, I'm going to call it the problem black man, the aggressive black man, the black man that don't know how to deal with rejection and things like that. I don't think that that is the overall majority of black men.
No, but they definitely exist.
Absolutely, wholeheartedly, hands down. And just like we talked about in that project, that process improvement meeting, at some point we will have to address the 20% that we have to deal with because it is a problem, right? We have to come up with a process improvement for that 20%, but we cannot dump what the 20% does off on the 80%. If 80% of the men that you come into contact with are horrible human beings, you got to start asking yourself, what is the environment that I'm in? You got to start looking at your environment, because I'm here to tell you 80% of the men that I come into contact with are not horrible human beings. They just aren't.
Unless they're this way behind closed doors.
Very and they're not possible. But that's not what we're talking about. Right. We're talking about being out in public,
exactly,
out in open spaces and being cackled and harassed and taunted and mistreated by black men. I'm out all the time. I don't run into this. I don't see this. I smile at a black man. He smiles back. Mm-hmm. I say, good morning. How's your day going? He say, good morning, beautiful. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. They smile. You want to know why? I had one tell me, you know what? You're the first black woman I've seen all week that spoke with me with a smile. We are a part of the problem. Let's just be clear. We want to dump it all off on black men, but we also have to ask ourselves, are we causing a part of this? Y'all finna be real mad in these comments.
Clean it up now.
Causing part of this because we're treating everyone the same? Because a black man comes to you and says, hey, how you doing? And you immediately have an attitude. You immediately think that he's trying to talk to you. You immediately think that he wants something from you when he could very well just be saying, good morning. It's becoming almost a tit for tat. Women, black women are attacking men before they have a chance to say something nice. And black men are on the defensive and saying ugly things to black women because y'all all the same. Mm-hmm. You gonna come at me with an attitude, so I might as well come at you reckless. We gotta stop. It's okay just to say hi. It's okay to speak and not want anything further. Mm-hmm. It's okay for somebody to buy you a cup of coffee just because you were standing in line at Starbucks and they happened to be behind you without expecting something more. We gotta stop just dropping this blanket on everybody and thinking everything is something bad. And we gotta stop because I have a bad attitude because my day is going bad. F you. I don't wanna talk to you. Why are we pushing our bad energy, our negative feelings, our hostility off on other people? They didn't do anything to you. You mad at the wrong person. Mm-hmm. It's we on both sides. Men are creating women who are mad, angry, and bitter. Mm-hmm. And women are creating men that are mad, angry, and bitter. And then we're looking across the line at each other, mad, angry, and bitter with each other. Mm-hmm. And it's unfair and it's detrimental. And we are pushing this off on our kids, on the generations coming after us.
Right. Because they're seeing all this.
We got to make it better.
Yeah.
We've got to stop just pushing this off. I treat everyone the same. If you see me walking down the hallway, I got that rest in be face. That it exists. I'm sorry. I'm not a mean person, though. If you speak to me, I'm going to speak back. Mm-hmm. If you walk by, you look sad, I'm probably going to say, hey, good morning. How you doing? I was driving down the street the other day on my way to work, minding my business, rest in face, and the construction worker waved at me. And I rolled down the window and smiled. And he said, well, dog, I thought you was having a bad morning. No, sir, I wasn't. I was just contemplating. I didn't want to go to this job this morning, but I'm fine. Good morning. How are you? Mm-hmm. And we had a nice, calm conversation as I waited for the line, the flag man, to wave me on by. There's a misconception. There's miscommunication that's happening. You feel like you looking at somebody and they look mad. Mm-hmm. And as a man, the first thing they want to say is, you too pretty for that mad face.
Smile. And it's taking
just
an insult.
Smile. Or just say, you know what? Today's not a great day. You don't have to go off and get mad and get angry and start yelling and cutting up. They really are just trying to brighten your day sometimes. Mm-hmm. Now, I will not sit here and pretend that some of them are not.
Right.
That some of them really are out to make your life and your day even worse. They exist. They do. But sometimes what's happening is each party is feeding off of the other. Neither one of y'all intended to start out in a quarrel. In a argument that wasn't the initial intent. Mm-hmm. But that's what happened because we were feeding off of our perceived impression of the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of want to take it back and go back to the beginning of the video because he started speaking about, you know, men and how they approach women and how they can't deal with rejection. And I assume he was saying that the men that can deal with rejection and have no problem with it. I assume he was speaking about these men when he said that, and you are accountable to that. Now, I don't know how to really receive that because I don't know if he really meant that word. Because, you know, when you start thinking about accountability, you're thinking about somebody needs to accept the blame for something. Now, I don't know if that's how he meant it. I hope that's not how he meant it, because if he meant it that way, to me, that doesn't make sense. I hope that he was saying that we are accountable for society. And by saying that, maybe he was going down the route of saying that we need to create a better society overall for women in these scenarios, so they don't feel like they gotta, you know, cower when they're around men or look at men in a dangerous light. Because to a certain extent, I kind of understand women walking around and being fearful of men, because it's just like, if there is a room full of snakes, I don't know which one of these snakes, if I don't know snakes, right? And I don't know what they look like, I can't tell which one of these snakes are venomous. And I also can't tell which one of these snakes plan to bite me. So it's better for me to practice safety than to step my foot in this room of snakes. Now I understand that to a certain extent, but then when you start bringing it into human nature, if you look at it from this standpoint, because this is all turning into stereotypes at this point. So when Caucasian people look at black people and they say, oh, they just steal. They rowdy everywhere they go. They destroy their own neighborhoods. Is it fair for Caucasian people to look at all black people in this way and say that they're all these types of people? Or is it fair, because I know a few black people have stolen out of the store, for me as the store owner to follow black people around because I assume that they're going to steal because I've seen these people do this before? This falls into the same bucket. And when we start looking at this and saying that men are accountable for the bad apples in the bunch, I think that's where we kind of lose the plot. Because when you look at this situation in totality, right? I, as a person that don't do these things, I shouldn't be accountable for these bad people. It's not my responsibility to fix these people, because unfortunately in society, bad people exist.
Absolutely.
But if we're going to look at this thing across the whole scale, right? We can't just say that this fits in this box for this group and not apply across the whole scape of things. I understand that certain violence and things that happen towards women is more severe percentage wise from men. But when we start, if we take the severity out of it, right? And we look at rates and things like that. Certain things women do to men have to also be included in this conversation. If I am a male who grew up in an abusive house, right, where my mom was beating the crap out of me or just being verbally abusive, and then I grow up with this thought that women are just like this, and I end up choosing women and all of them are being verbally abusive to me, and some of them even hit me when they felt like I wasn't doing something that they wanted me to do. Is it fair for me then to overgeneralize the whole swath of women and say that all women act like this?
No.
You see how this doesn't make sense, and it starts to become sexist. Now, my question is sexism wrong? Or is it all right? Because at this point, now we're looking at these issues and we're saying, okay, well, it's socially acceptable to label all men like this, but it's not socially acceptable for women to be labeled in whatever label, because you can't label women anything. And if you do label them anything but beautiful, lovely, and a child of God, then, you know, you're a horrible person. But if you label them any kind of thing that is seen as negative by society, then that's a problem. Even if there's a stereotype for women fitting in these boxes, you can't name them that. So I don't, some, now listen, some stereotypes, they are true, right? for a great amount of people. But we still, even in those scenarios, you can't overgeneralize. You look like you wanted to say something, so you.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, because I was going back to the snake analogy. You finish.
Okay. Yeah. No. So, I because I look at it like this. So like if we had like a barrel, right? And we had a barrel and we filled it full of apples, right? Let's say you have some in the bunch that were starting to rot and they stinking and they starting to cause some of the other ones to rot, right? So then you have the other apples in the bunch that are perfectly fine. Would it make sense to blame the perfectly fine apples for causing the rest of the bunch to rot, or blame those perfectly fine apples for rotting the other apples, or blame those perfectly fine apples for just the apples that are rotten? Like this can be looked at from many different ways. I don't really know how to really get past this other than saying that we need to stop. Because my thing is this, right? I will say that men need to be accountable in this situation, in this form, just by simply speaking up to other men, you know what I'm saying? Which I see quite a few men all the time online calling out certain behaviors that men are doing as predatory and as problematic to society. I see this all the time. So if you have a homeboy that's doing something that could be seen as sexist or just simply objectifying women, or just sleeping around with a bunch of women, cheating on his wife, cheating on his girlfriend, just doing all these different things, then as the men that don't do those things and don't believe that those things are correct or right, then I think you need to speak up. But the thing is, a lot of times when these men that are doing these things, the horrible men of society, these men don't listen. So they end up being this person, whether you speak to them or not. So then the next question is, what's the next step? I believe I had a conversation with you about this a long time ago.
You did.
What's the next step? Is the next step to delete these human beings out of this realm? Because that seems like the next step. Because if they're not going to listen, then what exactly do you do? Because if you excommunicate these people, stop talking to them, and I've said this before, you stop talking to these people, stop hanging with them after you have approached the situation with them several times and made it known that, hey, this is not cool. You need to stop doing X, Y, Z. The next step is to fight them or get rid of them. I'm not a police officer, so I can't put them in jail or in prison. And some great deal of these things are not even crimes. Yeah, I was going there. I'm saying I was going down the list. Yeah, I can't delete them either. Or I'm not willing to, should I say it like that? Because anybody can delete anybody. But I don't know what the next step is, because the accountability stops. There's a hard stop. Because then at that point, if I cross this hard stop, now the good man is taken out of the picture as well.
You're no longer a good man.
So what are we doing here? So again, we got to look at this from all angles. Can't just be like, okay, bad man equals all bad men and just leave it at that. We can't be like bad woman equals all bad women. We got to start just looking at this thing in totality and taking a zoom out picture and understand that just because a group or a percentage of individuals that you've dealt with, and some people haven't even dealt with anything like this before, they base it off of what they heard somebody else talking about. So if you look at it in a way of saying that, okay, I've dealt with 5 individuals that have done this thing to me, so I need to apply this form of thinking to the whole group. If I look at it like that, then that's an inaccurate way of looking at things. And you'll never get past whatever you're trying to get past, whatever trauma or whatever anger or whatever issue that you have with the opposite sex.
So I'm going to take it back to the snake analogy. Mm-hmm. Being in a room full of snakes, right? I have always had a real phobia of snakes. Wouldn't even look at them on a screen, in a book. It's a no for me. Heart racing, sweating, all of that. It's a no. I don't do snakes. In my mind, mm-hmm. all snakes are poisonous. All of them will kill me. They are all dangerous. I don't fool with them.
And that's how they're looking at it.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly how they're looking at it. Without taking the time to know each snake.
Yeah.
Right? My brother, in his infinite wisdom, and I wanted to fight him, would just start sending me videos of snakes.
That's crazy.
Just over and over and over again. But what it did was desensitize me to looking at them.
Mm.
So now I was able to look at them on the screen. Because before I couldn't, right?
Yeah,
I couldn't,
real phobia.
I did. I could not even look at them on the screen. But he bombarded me with these pictures of snakes. So eventually I was able to look at them on the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So over time, I'm looking at these snakes on the screen. I've gotten comfortable. I joined a Facebook page to identify snakes. That's how comfortable I got.
Okay.
Because we live out here in the woods. I want you to bear in mind, just like you said, some of these people are stereotyping people off of things that they have heard.
Right.
I've never personally encountered a snake.
Mm-hmm.
I've not. I have now. But at the time, I had not personally encountered a snake, and yet I deemed all snakes as venomous and dangerous, and they would kill me.
Mm-hmm.
After my time on Facebook, my little knowledge gathering, I learned that all snakes are, in fact, not venomous.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, quite a few. Like, most of them are not. It's just a small majority, like copperheads, rattlesnakes, cottonmouths. Those are the three that I can think of right now.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are brown decays, rat snakes, garter snakes, king snakes. Mm-hmm. These snakes are not venomous. They right. actually help the area. They help the ecosystem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in just doing a little bit of research, in getting over my fear and learning a little bit more, I was able to learn that, yes, there are venomous snakes out there.
Yep.
There are snakes that's going to bite me and I'm going to be poisoned. My lungs might collapse, the whole nine yards. But then there are these snakes over here that are actually helpful. As a matter of fact, a king snake will kill that copperhead.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help protect you and keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to take the time to learn the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we moved out here in the country
mm-hmm.
and I ran across these snakes, they don't have to die.
No, they don't. They don't have to die.
Because now I can identify them. And I can say that's a ringneck snake. That was the first time. I'm sorry, little ringneck snake. It was a baby snake in the garage. Baby, I screamed.
No, why you do that snake?
I did.
Like that?
I didn't do it. You did it. I screamed and he had to come. But I've learned to better identify them. So I'm not as afraid. The brown decays that was in the driveway. The gigantic rat snake that slithered along the house. I can identify them as not dangerous. Now, I'm not going to go and approach them. I'm not there yet. But I know that they're not dangerous. I can identify the safe snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can identify the dangerous snakes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn as a society, not just our women to our men, but our men to our women, to identify the poison within our community
right.
and identify the help within our community and stop just blanketing that everyone is a poison.
Right. So, you know what they'll say to that, though? Because even though you just said that, they'll say that, well, with snakes, there are clearly websites you can go to and you can read up on these snakes and see how they've been studied and you can see how their heads are shaped and tell whether or not they're venomous or not. So you can see all that with research. But if you're talking about men, there's no site that you can use to identify what type of man you're dealing with. What would you say to that? Because they would be right. So how would you identify what man is dangerous or not?
We like to speak about discernment all the time. We like to speak on how our intuition is real.
He actually talked about that in the video about women, the spiritual connection and the things that. So where is it?
Connect. Let's just be honest. OK, yes, there are some men who are wolf in sheep clothing. Mm-hmm. They do exist. But for the most part, you can look at a lot of these men and tell if they mean you any good or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it by the words they spit out of their mouth if you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it in how they carry themselves. You can see it in how they speak. You can see it in how they interact with other people.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence is there if we simply look for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to look for it. If you're not going to look for it, then there's no point in having this conversation. If you're not even going to attempt to find the good in them, if you're not going to attempt to decipher the bad apple from the good apple, then we don't even need to talk about it. You just go over there and exile yourself with the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say to that is, in every situation, you're not going to be able to see.
Absolutely not. Like, but, I said, there are wolves in sheep clothing. Absolutely.
But with having the discernment and learning, you definitely can lessen your chances of coming in contact with these certain men. But I also want to go back to one thing that you said earlier. It's kind of about your environment. If you're constantly encountering these people.
Yep.
I know the thought is going to be, you just need to teach men how to do better, how to be better. In certain circumstances, yes, that is possible. But unfortunately, bad people exist. And that's just not on the men's side. That's on the women's side, too. Like, if you have a woman that you know, because listen, y'all are friends with other women. If you have a friend that is being vindictive and manipulative to you, you know she's going to be doing that to the men in her lives. So it's the same thing. You have a conversation, sis, you need to stop manipulating these men. And let's say that she doesn't stop. What do you do?
Let's just be clear. Some of y'all friends are manipulating you.
Right. That's what I just said.
You sitting beside a venomous snake telling all your business, and the minute y'all ain't friends no more, she done went and spewed it all.
Right. Doxing you on the internet.
Your friends are not your friends. And you unfortunately can't see past that, or you do and you just don't care. So you got to learn how to deal with whatever it is inside of you that keeps attracting these horrible people. Because, again, I know y'all going to be mad about this, but sometimes we attract the bad element to us without even trying to. That's the reality. And you have to, if you sit back and you really think about it, every single person that comes into your life is bad and don't mean you no good. But the person over here sitting next to you, growing up in the same environment of you, keeps pulling in all of these good people. What is it? You got to ask yourself. Sometimes you gotta do some self-reflecting and some self-cleaning and get whatever it is that keeps pulling these negative people. And it could be that they pulling them to you for you to help them, or vice versa, and you haven't figured out how to do it yet. But you got to do some self-reflecting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and listen, again, just want to just go ahead and put this disclaimer right there. It's very much true that women deal with these types of men. They do. These men exist. And unfortunately, they're going to continue to exist no matter how many men have conversations with them or not. So you just, like he said in the video, you got to be vigilant. But being vigilant does not equal you putting everybody in one pot. It just doesn't. Because if that's the case, then you deserve to be put in one pot. And if you don't want to be put into one pot with all the rest of the women that you would never see yourself around or want to hang with, then maybe try to stop putting everybody else in the same pot. I mean, that seems simple to me, but that's just me. I don't know where else to go with that. You got anything else to say?
Nope.
All right. Like, share, subscribe. We'll hit you guys in the next one. Peace.
Night.